Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Well, it seems that snappiness is a Biden trait. Not just a Joe Biden trait, but a Jill Biden trait as well. Snappiness. Excuse me. Dr. Jill Biden snaps at an anchor on CBS Mornings. We'll start there, but before we do, welcome back, America. I am your host, Cicely, and you are tuned in, of course, to The Savage Truth. Thank you so much for joining me. Glad to have you. Please, 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 as always, I always ask, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, to which I am so grateful to be a part of, as it does help the show grow and continue to have talks like these and about situations like these. Dr. Jill Biden. Awful snappy so early in the morning. You know, maybe she's not a morning person. You know, maybe they shouldn't wake her up or get her on a show or have any commentary before a certain time. Or maybe she doesn't like the hard truth. She was served the savage truth early in the morning, folks. I don't know if you did hear about this or not. Did you see it? She was a guest on CBS Mornings on Wednesday, and in an attempt to dismiss recent dismal polling that shows clearly the former president Donald Trump is leading her husband, the current Joe Biden, in all but one battleground state. She was clearly upset with this. Now, she was asked about the state of Biden's reelection campaign during an appearance on the morning show and was specifically questioned about a recent Wall Street Journal survey that found that hubby Joe was and is trailing Trump in six of the seven 2024 swing states. So, again, CBS host Tony Dokupil, I think is how you pronounce it. Excuse me. I tend to just butcher last names, began asking the first lady about the polling before she cut him off. So he's asking this question. He's referencing her husband's clear challenges with regard to swing states, and she cuts him off. No, he's not losing. No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up. Before the host could even finish asking the question, she cuts him off. And she goes on to snap, he's even or doing better, you know? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election. The reference Wall Street Journal poll released on Tuesday that Trump is currently leading Biden in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina, states that will play a crucial role in securing a win on the November ballot. The results found that Biden was tied with Trump in Wisconsin. He's tied there. So according to reports, Biden himself reportedly has grown increasingly frustrated as well and worried over his reelection efforts. He's been awful snappy, awful crabby over there in the Biden administration. NBC News previously reported that he began to shout and swear in a January meeting when informed that his poll numbers had dipped in the battleground states of Michigan and Georgia over his handling of the Israel-Hamas war, a lawmaker familiar with the situation told the publication. Awful snappy, doesn't look good. The outlet noted Biden's alleged outburst came as he has long believed that he's not getting the credit he deserves. Biden believes he's not getting credit as he deserves in several areas. Oh, I'm just loving this. Gosh, I'm having fun this election season. Privately, another source told the publication that he regularly pushes aides about what parts of his accomplishments he should highlight in different states. Oh, I can tell you, if someone could just please, from the Biden administration, come ask me. I'll tell you what to highlight. Crime, immigration, gas and groceries. Okay. The report also said he is surrounded by protective aides who want to minimize the chances of a flub. There is no protection against that unless you actually sew his lips shut. But okay, something he has dealt with in recent months as he has made several blunders. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this episode, folks. I'm sorry. So he's made several blunders that have called into question his mental acuity, and it's taking its toll on the doctor, wife, First Lady Jill, clearly. Now, remember, folks, because I'm a former candidate, and I therefore am forever changed by that experience and see these occurrences with a certain perspective, okay? You're forever changed if you ever run for a candidacy, especially on the federal level. Not that local isn't important, because it absolutely is, but if you run on a federal level, I'm telling you, or it is just an absolute experience, and you're forever changed in perspective, especially when it comes to politics. Now, the First Lady is frustrated with the outcomes, the poll results, the poor and continued decline in approval ratings for her beloved. I don't doubt that one bit. Truly, I don't. She wants to be a second-term First Lady. No doubt about it. But the greater reason for her snap is the soundbite. Here I go again. She's reacted to what? What is she actually reacting to? What does she react to? The host statement that her beloved hubby is losing in battleground states. Remember, people only remember highlights. They only remember sound bites and can only handle so much information. The average attention span is very, very short, which is why social media gives you 30 seconds for a reel, or 1 minute, or 7 seconds, right? People can only handle so much information. This is something I learned as a candidate. People will take away those high points and they'll forget all the rest. They'll remember what stuck to them. Now, for that entire interview, what will people remember? The host's reminder to Jill that Joe is losing in battleground states and her snappy reaction. It's not her stated retort, what she actually said. They'll just remember that he ran something to her. He gave her the results of a poll and she was snappy. She was defensive. They will remember that the statement made her defensive. And this is a win. This is an absolute win for Trump and the Trump administration. Remember, those contrasts, those sound bites, and those snapshots are most important. It's what people will remember. Her reaction to the poll results and her weak retorts to the obvious. That's what they'll take away from that remembrance, that interview. This is why Trump is so effective. He understands this, which is why he has the biggest microphone in the country. Not just because he has a huge persona that can take over a room and fill a room, fill a stadium like a rock star. It's because he understands the importance of free press. He understands the effectiveness and the importance of contrast and sound bites and highlights. He's a master at this. Now, in the last episode, I talked about this. You remember. And if you don't and you haven't seen it and you're new, go ahead and refer back to the episode before. But I was very, very clear about this. I will continue to do this so that everyone gets it and so that you're able to really be effective in making your choice, especially if you're not someone who is decided. If you're still purple, or if you're still undecided, or if you're a Dem and you're wondering why so many Dems are leaving in droves to the right side to support Donald Trump, by all means, sound bites. Contrast. This is what people remember. Joe Biden with Obama and Clinton. Remember this. Dancing and parading around at a ritzy fundraiser 30 miles away from a wake of a fallen police officer who died in the line of duty. Now, while they're dancing and parading at Radio City Music Hall with Lizzo, Trump was where? At a wake with the fallen police officer's family and with all the police officers who were there to support him. He stands up with them. There's a photo of him with police officers that I actually had behind me in the last episode. And he made a statement about the bravery of the officer and how this needs to stop, that law and order needs to return as top priority. He pays off the mortgage of the officer through tunnels to towers. Contrast, folks. Contrast. Sound bites and highlights. That's what people remember. We got Joe Biden and Clinton and Obama, you know, dancing at Radio City Music Hall at a ritzy $25,000 a plate fundraiser. And you got Donald Trump standing up with police officers, consoling a fallen officer's family for his loss of life. Now, what do you think will be remembered for that unfortunate incident. Joe at the fundraiser with Obama and Clinton, and Trump with the officers. Now we're talking about, again, we got four presidents in New York City, 30 miles away from each other, with very different efforts, very different activities. And when it's time to vote, who do you think those middle class officers are going to vote for? Four presidents, not one of those three that were at Radio City Hall with Lizzo. None of them thought to go 30 miles away to send their condolences. They couldn't figure that out. Who do you think they're going to vote for? They're going to vote for Trump. Why? Because of contrast. Trump was there because he wanted to be. Let's be very clear about that. Trump was there because he wanted to be. He cared about a fallen police officer and so many others like him who have fallen victim to policies rendered under Joe Biden. Joe didn't attend because he didn't want to. He didn't care, and he doesn't care. Let me give you another. As we have just come off another joyous and sacred Easter. Now, by the time you listen to this, we're 1 week off from Easter, but, you know, I am a Christian girl, okay? Love my Savior Jesus. You all know this. I am a Christian girl. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I love my Savior Jesus. To everyone across the globe, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. And shout out to all my Jewish friends. They're the best. They are the best. They all sent me happy Easter wishes. You know, not the same for them, just a little difference. But they acknowledge out of respect and decency that it means a lot to us. One friend in particular, I have to mention this. This is really important to me. One friend in particular, a Jewish friend of mine, very close to me, you know, Jesus is a little different, has a little different meaning. But he always says, you know, well, at least you all are smart enough to have a Jewish savior. So I absolutely love it. But shout out to all my Jewish friends for wishing me happy Easter last Sunday. I'm not going to bewilder this because I and you are past this, but more to drive my point home about contrast, soundbites, and highlights. Easter Sunday, the Biden administration does the whole trans day of visibility. You've all heard about this now. We all know the day was originated on March 31st in 2009 by a trans hack, okay? We all know that. We're not disputing that. The date was picked way back then. So this wasn't the Biden administration trying to erect a trans holiday or a trans observant day on Easter Sunday out of real malice. It just happened to fall. I get that. I'm going to give them that. Now, they could have just decided to not raise so much of a ruckus, but the day was picked in 2009. I fully acknowledge that. But the story isn't in the day. It's the contrast. And here's what I mean. As Joe Biden calls out the oyster bunny on the south lawn of the White House, there's a contrast here. There was a flyer on the Easter egg hunt that, now get this, folks, there's a flyer that banned religious themes on Easter Sunday. Imagine that. On Easter, as per the Joe Biden administration, Joe, who claims to be a devout Catholic himself, says no religious themes, no religious connotation. It's unbelievable. You literally cannot make this stuff up. This is a flyer that was circulated amongst the general of the National Guard, inviting children to the National Guard, soliciting members to submit eggs for the Easter egg or the oyster egg hunt contest. The administration was banning religious themes from the oyster egg contest. This is so revealing of the Biden administration. I mean, can you imagine the fate of this country if a child were to find an egg with a cross or he is risen on the egg? I mean, oh, the humanity, the impact and the detriment to the children. Oh, my goodness. Now, we all know that only religion allowed on the left is progressivism. This is the only religion that is allowed. It's the only one that's observed and the only one that's acknowledged. Let me prove my point. Remember, again, I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Contrast, sound bites, and highlights. Now, on X, formerly known as Twitter, there's a contrast. There's two visuals. There's Joe Biden, and I quote, this is what he's posted. On Transgender Day of Visibility, we celebrate the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. Today, We show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them. They belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. Trans rights are human rights.
End of quote.
Okay, now in contrast, for those who celebrate Easter in the country, here's what Joe wrote. To all those gathering in churches and homes around the world today, happy Easter. May God bless and keep you. Real quick. That's a contrast, right? We see you. We hear you. We're there for you. We support you. You're the bravest people I know. You know, this is, we're all about you. And for those of you who celebrate Easter, happy Easter. And, you know, may God be with you. That's a contrast, folks. That should be collected and take that to the voting booth. He's telling us, he's telling you what he prioritizes, who he prioritizes, and how he feels, one group versus another. This administration is saying it loud and clear. Now, to further prove and rest my point, I remind you that there's the flyer that warns against the submission of any religious thematics, the short X statement to the Christians all over the world, and the final point that is irrefutable, the plethora of visibility days for trans on a calendar year. I mean, if you read this tweet, you would think that trans people are struggling to get any visibility, right? We acknowledge them on this day. We see you. We acknowledge you. You're the greatest people I know. And you would think that trans people don't get any visibility, any acknowledgement. But that's just simply not the case. Here it is. So, of course, we have Trans Day of Visibility, as just celebrated this past March 31st. There's Trans Day of Remembrance, November 20th. There's Transgender Parent Day on November 6th. There's Trans Awareness Week, November 13th through the 19th. There's International Pronoun Day on October 20th. There's International Drag Day, July 16th. Agender Pride Day, May 19th. There's Intersex Awareness Day on October 26th. Of course, you can identify or come out as any of these on National Coming Out Day, October 11th, and on and on and on. Wow. But contrast and highlights. Trump, who is better than anyone at this, gives this response on Easter Sunday, about an hour after this Trans Day of Visibility was out there for everyone to really acknowledge, and it was confirmed by the Biden administration. Here's Trump's statement. As we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and his glorious resurrection on the third day, on Easter Sunday, we proclaim with joy, Christ is risen. None of this is by accident, folks. None of this is by happenstance. The Biden administration is looking to poke and provoke you. They are looking to get a very specific reaction from the right side and signal to the undecided, those independents, right, that they are inclusive. What they're looking for is a very specific reaction from the right side. Why? Because their policies and their entire administration is terrible. It's horrible and just flat out sucks, to be honest with you. Nothing they have done is good for any American. Nothing has been beneficial. Nothing they have suggested or put in practice has advanced the American dream or any person's plight in life. I mean, that's just the flat out truth. And they recognize it, which is why they're so panicked right now. Right? Nothing they suggest, nothing they put forward has been beneficial. Send your kids to failing schools as regulated by a corrupt bureaucracy known as the Department of Education. Erase student debt for the wealthy and get the middle class and the working class to pay for it. Erase the borders and render us vulnerable to our enemies. We'll see excessive crime and drugs. Give us your money by way of increased interest rates and higher taxes and gas and groceries and everything else has increased. Don't prosecute criminals. Eradicate or redefine crime so as to not prosecute criminality. Mutilate boys and girls and redefine sex and gender. Attack women by invading bathrooms and dressing rooms, beauty industries, and sports. Kill the unborn and label it women's reproductive health, women's reproductive rights. hire people according to pigment, not achievement. Get rid of gas cars in favor of electric ones, even though we don't have the infrastructure to actually support electric cars across this country right now, even though they're more expensive and cause strain on the automotive industry and its workers. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, bold, underline, and italicize, nothing they have done or have put into policy has been good for the American people. And because Joe and Kamala can't stand on policy, their strategy is very simple and single. Get you to react. Poke you and provoke you so they cause a reaction, a very specific reaction, so that people hate Republicans or those on the right and therefore vote for Joe Biden. See, it's all about causing chaos, right? And so you're not really voting for policies. You're really just taking all your hate and your rage to the voting polls to vote for Joe Biden. That's can't stand on policy. That's it. You have to understand this and not give them the reaction that they want. This was the reaction Trump's team took, fully understanding this, and it caused them to revert back a bit from their visibility day. Joe Biden saying, and he wrote, "I did not do that." And I ask you, if he says that, who's in charge there? Who's in charge if he didn't do it? I mean, it's very possible. I wouldn't put it past that. This is something that his administration ran past him. And once he found out or saw the revert of reaction, he obviously spoke on his own behalf. But I really do believe that it's very possible that his administration pushed this forward without him knowing. But then we ask, who's running the country? That's the meaning of this and so many other things going on. Remember, the optics, the contrast, and the sound bites are profoundly significant. Don't give them the reaction they want. Remember, I said we need to be ruthless. Now, I have a friend, a pastor, who gets this. And if you are a pastor or a church out there, you better get this and start putting out the efforts to keep our country aligned in the Judeo-Christian order of things. Okay, this is important. We need to be hearing this out of our churches. This should be coming from the pulpits. Now, my pastor friend, Pastor Amachukwu, I call him Pastor A because he understands that nobody can pronounce his name. But I want you to listen to this. My pastor friend, my Pastor A friend out of North Carolina gave me permission to play this. Here's what he put out for this trans visibility. Focused on the pastors and churches, not the Biden administration. Listen to this.
Listen, I'm not shocked one bit that the Obama-Biden administration, yes, I said that the right way, that they made Easter Sunday the National Transgender Day. I'm not shocked by that because we know what they stand for. The question is, what are Christian churches going to do tomorrow? Will your pastor mount the sacred desk and act as if he doesn't know what is going on? Or will he address the issue and say something about it? Will he play politics and say, you know, we're not called to judge and we shouldn't say anything about these issues and we just need to love like Jesus and serve the community well? What is your preacher going to say? And I'll be the first to tell you this. If your pastor doesn't say anything about this, find a new church, like quickly. Go online and find another church because you really need to because your pastor is woke.
And there you have it. And he's absolutely right. Okay, now, this is my pastor friend. I just absolutely adore him and his passion and his sentiment. I met him at Turning Point in Arizona in 2022. He's an amazing man. He's so right about this, but he gets it. He has the right reaction. Well said. And we need to get ruthless about how we think and combat these dangerous fools on the left. If we don't, we lose this country and all that we hold dear. And an electric car will be the least of our worries. Bill Maher, recognizing that contrast, highlights, and soundbites have impact as well, he actually had a show where he chastised the left for their unwillingness to admit their stupidity and overreaction to COVID. I absolutely love this. This was fun. He talked about the Wuhan lab and their obvious gain of function activities with regard to COVID and where it originated. We didn't know, right? So we're seeing, you know, people coming out saying, well, we just didn't know. And so because we didn't know, we had to react a certain way. There's maybe I'll give you a 2% credibility on that, but he's just calling this out. Others predicted better than we. This is what Bill Maher said, that others predicted better than we. And when he said others, no, folks, he's talking about us. He's talking about us on the right. Our doctors, our healthcare professionals were calling this out for the stupidity that it was. They're like letting us know that this is being politicized, that this has no implications. A mask doesn't stop anything. Closing down schools was wrong and had negative impact. He also said this on the show, that closing down schools was wrong and had negative impact. If you get the vaccine, you won't carry it. Remember that lie? That if you get the vaccine, you won't carry it, despite those who were vaccinated 3 and 4 times and actually got it 3 or 4 times. They sat on the beach with masks. He laughed about this. He poked fun. People literally sitting on the beach with masks on. He said, we washed the mail. People were washing the mail. And he was going on to say that he said, I don't see acknowledgement of this. And he what he's saying is that he's not hearing those on the left acknowledging that they were wrong about the overreaction, about washing the mail, about sitting in your car alone with the mask on, right? About making people spraying your kids down before they walk into the house, right? About avoiding. I mean, so many people have lost their loved ones or didn't get to see loved ones because of their overreaction to COVID. All the while we were saying this and we were called racist and Donald Trump was called a racist for calling it the China virus. And we have to play this game better than they do. We have to know it. We have to know the rules and we have to play this game as well. We have to acknowledge that these people, they don't like us. They want to take our guns, put your kids in crappy schools again. Now, I talked about the agenda of the left and their reason for doing what they do, that nothing they have done or want to do is actually good for any American. In fact, it's to destroy and dismantle America and our way of life. That's clear. Now, I had that list of bad things, right? You know, I was going over those, the higher taxes, erasing borders, mutilating children, taking your guns. They want you afraid and unable to defend yourselves. But I want to end on this note because it's extremely important. We have to be able to think and see deeper. The squatting thing, right? We hear this a lot. Illegals, people have the right to take your home, to move in, to stay for at least 30 days. If they stay for 30 days, and the states like California and New York actually protect squatters, not the actual homeowners. But you have to ask yourself this question, why would they do that? That's clearly so offensive. It's the most ridiculous thing. Why would they do that? Even as a Democrat, you know that that doesn't make sense. Please at least tell me you know that, okay? But why would they do this? It's not just about immigrants, folks. It's not just about immigrants' rights. You heard about the squatters who are suing the New York homeowner. A concept, a policy, a law that says someone can just walk into your house and take it. Just take it is the most outrageous, absurd thing anyone can fathom. No one understands this. Again, no matter how you identify politically, this is just ridiculous. And people don't like unfair things. But what is this really about? This is about the communist decade-long war on capitalism and the resounding success of free markets, capitalism, and economic freedom, and their continued efforts and focus to dismantle these tenets of capitalism. We're going to end on this note today because I definitely want to leave you with something to watch for and to ponder and listen. Listen, I don't think this is actual revelation to you all, but I want to bring this to your attention so that you can make this collective summation, okay? Think about this and please share it with the Democrat or those who ID or identify as independent to get them to think. That's the important thing. If you are listening to this and you already know, that's great. Spread the information. Have the conversation so that we can open their eyes and get those conversations going so they can actually start thinking beyond the headlines. Start thinking beyond the 10, 15, 30-second clips that they're seeing on cable network news, especially when it comes to politics. The way to destroy or dismantle capitalism, you have to go after three things, okay? You have to go after private property. Two, the ability to trade your labor for a wage, meaning to work for a wage and not for government. And three, destroy the price system. All are central tenets to capitalism, all three of these, okay? All three of these. Private property, the ability to trade your labor for wage, and destroy the price system. These are the three tenets of capitalism. There is no private property or ownership in socialism. People work for the government, labor for the government, and the price system doesn't matter because the government determines and controls the pricing system. This is why squatting works for the left. Being savagely rejective of everything the left suggests or presents and legislates, this is what we have to do. The left has an end goal in mind. When you hear Ilhan Omar's story of how she moved to this country, and then once she got here, she said she realized that the American dream wasn't being attained by everyone. And then she then becomes a community organizer who wants to equal outcomes for everyone. This is what she means. An ungrateful immigrant who comes to America and sees how happy and successful and joyous people are, she is filled with hate and envy as compared to where she came from. Okay? She's comparing where she came from to America. And she doesn't become grateful. She becomes hateful and envious. And she makes it a plight to destroy it. She hates capitalism and all those who have benefited from it and those who pursue it to better themselves. She hates the concept to self-determine. She absolutely hates that concept. The system that actually depends on personal effort instead of equal rations where everyone has the same size slice of the pie. To end with the savage truth, the goal of the left, and especially the far left, and those who don't speak up to dismantle the left's agenda is that there is a deliberate effort to create a communal sense of government, to destroy the want, to destroy your want, your ambition, your desire for a better life for you and your family, to put a clot in your ability to leave a legacy and build generational wealth. This is their goal. This is why you hear Bernie Sanders say, you know, you could have good government jobs. People can have good government jobs. A man who barely worked himself, okay? There's no economic freedom if you don't own your house or your own business or property or capital, or at least if you work for a wage, and we absolutely adore people who work for a wage, but we want them to have some kind of financial benefit at the end of that. Okay, we want people to participate in that system because it works for people. Nothing is by accident, and we have to take everything the left uses and turn it back on them. We have to master their practices. We are actually winning this war. May not seem like it, but we are. But we need that full armor and be willing to accept that our left-sided opponents and this administration, the party of the elite, they don't like us and want our ways of life forever changed for the worse. Now, when we get that understanding and accept this for truth, the savage truth, we will be able to have the real insight as to what they're doing and be able to answer the why. Once we can answer why, we will vote who in November. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, you know the theme. Be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.